Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour three, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Now, if you were hoping Mike McCarthy would not be back as Cowboys head coach, this might be a really great day for you. Okay, so congrats on that. News broke about 5 hours ago. He is gone, and now the search is underway. Top 10 at 4:20 is coming up in about 15 minutes with Wolchuk. Here's the Chief.
Sounds of the sports day, and we look back at a great sports weekend. We'll go chronologically here, and it was Sunday night, Saturday night, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry doing what they do versus the Steelers. Henry was an absolute animal, and he racks up 186 yards, two touchdowns. That's his fourth career playoff game with 150 or more rushing yards. And he reached on a 44-yard touchdown run. He reached almost 21 miles per hour. It was beautiful. He still got wheels. He goes the distance. And this was Lamar Jackson after the game describing what it's like from his vantage point watching Derrick Henry.
It looked like a movie clip. Like, you know, when, like, I'm going to give Cars. You watch the movie Cars?
Yeah.
A little bit too old to watch Cars, but anyway, for kids, I was a kid when I watched Cars. That's all I'm saying. But you know when Lightning McQueen just flashing past, and then it's like, that's how Derek looked when he was running past, and all those guys it looked like a movie, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you, but I'd rather be watching it than being on the other side of the ball. I know that.
Yeah, amen. And Minka Fitzpatrick saying the same thing. He took a mean stiff arm from Derrick Henry. He's one of 1,000 stiff arm casualties, I would imagine, in Derrick Henry's career. But I thought that was quite the analogy there, quite the comparison. Derrick Henry to Lightning McQueen. That was brilliant.
Maybe a new nickname for him. I believe Baltimore is the Queen City, maybe?
Ooh, he's probably Thunder McQueen.
Yes.
He's a Thunder guy.
And that stiff arm was one of the most impressive, because a lot of stiff arms are like, I'm going to get on your helmet and then push you down. It's almost like he just slapped him.
Yeah.
Like, just
yeah.
get down. You know?
He's got some. I mean, his stiff arm highlight reel is one for the ages. It's amazing.
It's a great rabbit hole. If you need 15 minutes of entertainment, you just hit that Derrick Henry stiff arm on YouTube. And
I think he might have punched him in the chin, really.
Yeah,
I don't know if he got him on the helmet. I think he might have throat punched him down.
Yeah, he had Goddard with a heck of a stiff arm play, barreling into the end zone during the Packers game as well. So the football was, some of those games were not great, but they all had phenomenal moments. Now, of course, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens beat the Steelers. Now Steelers are upset at Mike Tomlin, right? And we're doing Tomlin compared to McCarthy. Well, I'd like to take you to the John Gruden shred line, where we have a Steelers fan giving Tomlin the business.
Hey, guys. It's Casper here from Wheeling, West Virginia. I just want to call and say a big f***ing thanks and congratulations to Mike Tomlin on another f***ing winning season. It was fantastic. 10-8. Just what we all hoped for. I was looking so forward to it. Week one, I knew it. I said, if we could just get to 9-10 wins, what a success. And we'll have another Hall of Fame year for Mike Tomlin. And what's even better, hey, it's not enough that he gets a winning season. Why not just get our asses kicked by our number one rival in the playoffs to top it off?
That's a great
shot. I can't wait. Let's do it again next year.
Get that guy's name. Get his name and address, Dave. Let's send him something. That's a great stretch.
Okay, Gruden was fired up for that one. He liked it. Casper, the Steelers fan, unhappy with Mike Tomlin. He's not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, Steelers fans. That's just not going to happen. I know Jimmy Johnson was trying to trade McCarthy for Tomlin in the Fox pregame yesterday, but that's obviously not happening.
I wouldn't mind that. What am I missing here? Isn't this the front office? Isn't this the GM Omar Khan?
that can't get a quarterback for you, that wasted assets for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't know what type of relationship Tomlin has with the team building personnel aspect of the roster and everything, but yes, he's consistently just being handed mediocre quarterback play, among other things. Now, part of it, you know, the play caller stuff, he stuck with an awful, was it Matt Canada for a long time? Yeah. So he hasn't been able to, like, zero in on the guy there, assuming that's his role anyways. I don't know. But, yes, he's consistently taking subpar offensive talent and either getting to the playoffs or close to it.
I wonder what his opinion was on Kenny Pickett, though, when they drafted him in the first round.
Yeah, I would love to know.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, he's... You handed bad quarterback. Maybe you're part of that too.
Yeah,
I'm just curious because they did.
You can win with these guys.
They did try. I mean, they did try and draft a first round quarterback. And obviously, it's like, man, yeah, let's sign Kenny Pickett. He's in our backyard. Da 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 da. And you know, he's awful.
18th overall. Yeah. I mean, you try it out. Throw the dart out there.
Yeah.
And they paid $1 million to get Russell Wilson. And then the Fields trade.
But they've had some bad quarterbacks.
Rudolph.
I think this OC wanted to play with our guy from Chicago.
It sounded like he wanted to play with Fields.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson thinks he's going back to Pittsburgh. We'll see if that happens.
Well, Peter King's sending Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh, so I guess we'll see. But yes, you'd love to see what Mike Tomlin could do with a legit quarterback, first and foremost, and obviously a legit play caller. Arthur Smith, definitely an upgrade from what they've had over the last few years. But yeah, he hasn't been given too much to work with. Now, let's get to Sunday now, and Walchuk's got the George Pickens sound, that is must-hear sound that we'll get to at some point later on. But Sunday now, we go to Buffalo, and Bo Nix and the Broncos come out of the gates hot, man. They hit a huge strike, first rookie-to-rookie touchdown in playoff history. From Nix to Franklin, it was like, oh my goodness, we might have ourselves a little something here. And then the Broncos offense couldn't really do much after that. But this was the moment where you knew it was all for naught for them, when they're working their way to try and get a field goal, tie things up at the half. And they get the doink. We're calling this, people are calling this, you guys decide for yourselves, if this is the loudest doink in doink history. All right. And
more
it's
louder
also,
than NBA doinks and or dunks in basketball?
Field goal this doinks. This is doink, not dunks.
Okay.
Doinks.
Hearing it live, I would say yes.
This is pretty ridiculous, and a nice treat, we get the Spanish call.
El más largo de esta temporada que logró Lutz fue de 55. Centro bueno. Pega en el poste y se queda fuera.
It's not like the cannons going and off.
Isn't that the loudest doink of all time? I don't know. Is that the ball? Is that the leg strength of the kicker, Will Lutz? Or is that just some interesting field goal posts that maybe are unique to what should still be Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo?
I think they had a mic possibly on it. That sounded like a beast doink, if you ask me. You know, there was some strong reverberation.
Yeah.
Might have hit the Richter scale.
I think they've got a mic on that camera. That's how they're able to get some of these sounds. You
Man,
know,
that
the goalpost cam
on it was intense.
Yeah. It was an all time
cold shake. It you know, shake the camera kind of a bit.
yeah. I don't really know. I would love to get the details on how that doink was louder and more thuddier than any other doink that we've ever had. We get doinks all the time. Heck, we had a doink in the walk off for the Commanders that we'll get to here in just a
incredible.
Second. Unfortunately for Will Lutz, this was not a doink that doinked in. It doinked afuera, as you heard.
I think it knocked the microphone loose, and the microphone continued to rattle about on the metal goalpost. That would be my best bet for why we got those specific acoustics.
All right, now we head to the afternoon game, and it's filthy. It's Green Bay, and all of the sudden we break into live coverage of A.J. Brown reading a book called Inner Excellence on the sidelines of the game. His team is up, but he himself is not doing much producing, and so he's reading a book. Here was Burkhart and Brady describing things.
So A.J. Brown, well, we're figuring that out. He, you know, he's a little frustrated. Obviously, he hasn't seen too many balls today. He's going to read a little passage here.
Hey, I haven't seen too many people read books, but I've seen a quarterback eat a hot dog.
You have.
Thanks for everything, Tom. we really appreciate
a lot of book reading, but hot dog eating, that's a big thing.
Who's the hot dog eater?
Sanchez.
Marky Mark, football guy of the day.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to say Nerlens Noel.
Oh, that did happen.
But he's not a quarterback, Walchuk.
I forgot all about Nerlens Noel doing
that. Now, A.J. Brown may have simply just changed this particular author's life forever, old Jim Murphy. Because obviously this becomes an extremely viral.
He says he has his book on the sidelines all the time.
He does allege that. And I believe we'll hear from A.J. Brown maybe a little bit later on in the program as he explains himself here. But yeah.
You can hear from him if you'd like.
It's Jim Murphy's book called Inner Excellence. And it went from 500,000 on Amazon bestseller list to number one in just a matter of hours because A.J. Brown put this book on the map in a huge way.
Yeah, the Eagle fans are just flooding it with five-star reviews. Five-star.
Many of them reading their first book since like the eighth grade.
No, they're not reading this book at all. No. But they are fired up about it. I mean, Jim Murphy, he's up right now and filthy. There's no doubt. And yes, they are peppering this book with nothing but five-star reviews. They're leaving great comments about how it completely focused their guy and led to an Eagles victory. So Eagles fans are fired up. I'm sure Jim Murphy, his phone just blowing up constantly. Never
Bank
seen that before.
What the hell is going on?
Never seen that before. Somebody reading a book. His team is up, but his numbers weren't great, you know, so he's trying to stay locked in. And Maybe he's going to be a tastemaker. Maybe we'll see guys doing this moving forward.
I mean, your developmental toughness here with this book, cultivating focus and clarity under pressure, harnessing the power of mindfulness to improve performance. Maybe this was the key to him and Jalen Hurts getting on the same page.
Good point.
They were on the same page for that one catch for 10 yards. Is that what he finished with?
Well, I mean, look at that passing game. What can you do with that passing game?
But he didn't complain afterwards.
He did, exactly.
You know, he didn't make it worse.
No, he's zinned out.
Yeah.
Maybe he's zinning.
He had to remind himself that he's on a winning playoff team and advancing, and he's got to be careful with just how ticked off he is about his own performance in
passing. This too shall pass.
He's going to end up getting traded to New England.
You think, Vrabel.
Put that on my wall of takes.
I like that. That's a good take. All right, let's go to Sunday Night Football. This is where Jayden Daniels literally had everyone in the blender on the field and on the sideline because we take it to halftime, and Todd Bowles, head coach for the Bucs, gets the keys to the defense, bringing home a victory here in half number two. Todd, take it away.
And on defense, how do you limit Jayden Daniels?
Got to get him in long third and longer yardage. Got to win first down. He keeps getting out of the pocket to his left, to our left, his right, and we got to cut that down.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep.
Thanks, Todd. If you were really thankful to Todd, you would say, hey, Todd, this isn't actually live, so why don't we go ahead and redo that? Because that 15 seconds is not going to really shine a good light
on third?
You.
Who's on third?
I mean, he's completely short-circuiting. And to me, this isn't a Todd Bowles, what happened to you? This is just simply Jayden Daniels. This is what Jayden Daniels does to people. Is he going left? Is he going right? He could literally go anywhere. He could go backwards if he wants. This guy is an absolute freak show, and I cannot wait to see what he does to Aaron Glenn's defense versus the Lions coming up on Sunday. It's going to be legendary.
Probably most exciting quarterback going right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's saying something because Allen and Lamar, no joke, but Jayden Daniels as a rookie, we'll have more in football's finest. But
this dude is nailed.
That sound right there is all you need to know about just how special Jayden Daniels is. Todd Bowles had no idea which direction he was going because whichever one you wanted him to go was not the one that you wanted him to go. And then we'll close it down with, of course, the Commanders radio walk-off. This is our guy Bram Weinstein and London Fletcher.
Well, they'll cheer it up.
Oh, they're going to homer call this thing.
No, we'll hear the McLaurin call tomorrow for TD Tuesday.
Yes, but this is the walk-off victory.
Gonzalez looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick on its way. It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders! They do it again! We'll see you in Detroit!
And Zay Gonzalez kicks in the door and kicks us into the second round of the playoffs!
He kicks at the door.
Woo! Oh, I have booth envy. I have so much booth envy. The amount of excitement. You can see the video of them in there, and they are just through the roof, elated. Yeah. And I'm filled with jealousy.
The punctuation from, that's London Fletcher,
London,
right?
Fletcher,
was just incredible. So that's what 30 years of suck will do to you. A lot of pent-up excitement in there. Okay, well, Chuck, top 10 at 420 is coming up next. Where are you taking us?
All right, Boss Man gave me this top 10 idea. 877-881-1053. Top 10 outdated aspects of pro sports. What's the most outdated rule or anything in sports that you think needs to change? That's next in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H, your woolly bully.
What are the most outdated aspects in sports right now? What do you want to see changed? 877-881-1053. I think George Pickens, wide receiver of the Steelers, would like probably an entire offense moving forward. Here's what George Pickens had to say following a one-and-done playoff exit for the Steelers.
Yeah, I've seen signs of growth for sure. From past, you know, the first year I've been here, just way more growth for sure.
George, does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
Have you seen any growth in the offense since you've been here? Yeah, tons of growth. But are you optimistic moving forward? No, no, not. That's amazing.
What an epic response by him. And I respect and appreciate the self-awareness.
I do too.
Like
I
that
do
Steelers
too.
Offense can only go so far here with the ingredients.
Man. Yeah, with what we currently have. And man, he had an unbelievable touchdown yet again, but we'll see what they end up doing at quarterback moving forward. We did get the schedule for the divisional round. As usual, Houston's going to be playing that early Saturday game.
Of course they are.
So you can get excited for that. So 3:30, Texans at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. And then at 7 o'clock, we get Commanders and Lions on Fox. That's the nightcap. Winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and Rams on Sunday will take on the Eagles at 2 o'clock. And then the Ravens and Bills to shut down divisional round weekend at 5:30 on CBS. Can't wait for that. That's going to be an absolutely epic showdown. So there's your weekend schedule. Well, let's get to the top 10 most outdated aspects of pro sports. Had a couple of people reach out, and already somebody said on the text, Jerry Jones was their answer to most outdated. That's a little bit hard to argue after what we're kind of seeing and how things are playing out here with the Cowboys. We also did have one that got texted in about the shaving rule that the Yankees have.
Oh, yeah, that's
like, that
brutal.
Thing's weird, right? You got to be clean shaven, no beard. So, like, that's one that's outdated and the Yankees should change it, but I don't think they ever will.
I think I would just get the clippers and go with the number 0 and just get that thing as close as possible every day. Otherwise, I'd have to leave the Yankees, man. If I do a straight razor, especially across my neck for 2 days in a row.
Oh, you get the
oh,
bumps.
It's brutal. Oh,
the
itch. Yeah. Massive rash.
The burn.
Yeah. It's not a good look. Trust me, you would not want that on TV, Steinbrenners.
No.
Walchuk's got the secret sauce. If you got a bad rash, he knows he's got the ointment
That's
for you.
That's right.
We got that special.
Well, experience matters in these things.
Yeah, it does, 100%. Yeah. I mean, look, hang around Eric a lot. Stuff rubs up on you.
The methods are tried and true.
It does. We do have that cornered. Don't get relief from a divot on the PGA Tour from the 903.
Okay, sometimes what happens is if it doesn't get replaced, it will hit a tee shot and it will roll into a divot you don't get to move the ball out of that. So they usually do a pretty good job of filling those in or replacing the divots with the caddies, but sometimes you get a spot that's gets tore up a little bit. Now you gotta play that ball.
I tell you what's outdated. I know we're only 6, 7, 8 years into this thing, but leaving the pin in, I will never get used to that.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's weird.
Visually, it just kind of throws you off a little bit.
How about the Cowboys playing playing Thanksgiving Day games?
You want to get rid of that one?
I mean, you know what?
Maybe we change it up.
I kind of feel like I'm working every Thanksgiving, you know?
And you'd like to get a Thanksgiving off?
I would.
I know.
And maybe like celebrate with like normal people. But
I know.
I kind of feel like that maybe everybody in the league needs to get a turn at Thanksgiving Day football.
Football guy's going soft on us here, Woolchuck.
No, I'm just saying, though, it's one of those things. I just kind of like to, you know. You're
equal,
like,
opportunity.
Yeah, I'd like to see the rest of the league get to celebrate a Thanksgiving day game.
Selfishly, you know,
I'd like to get rid of Thursday football altogether.
Where I was going to come from. That's not outdated.
That's just
outdated as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think Thursday football's run its course.
It's also, they say they've got the ratings have gotten better, but I think that was just because, again, some of those divisional games that they've scheduled have worked out for them.
Yeah.
A little bit better schedule. I think the viewership was up like 30% or something like that for Prime, but I'm against Thursday football.
I have some rules from way back yonder, over a century ago, that were outdated at one point. Like in basketball, in the early days, after every bucket, there would be another tip-off. So you'd go bucket, everybody back to the middle, tip-off, who's got the ball now?
Oh, my God.
In the early days of football, the field goal was worth more than the touchdown. Had to do away with that.
The field goal was worth more. More than the touch.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They developed some pretty good kickers back in the day, I'd say.
Cowboys with Aubrey might have been the best team in the league this year.
Yeah. Maybe we should bring that one back, actually. That'd be pretty fun.
And in soccer, I want to see the golden goal be put back in extra time. You know, that was a lot of fun. When you go to overtime, first team to score, game's over, like sudden death.
Okay, golden goal, that's definitely one of these. The full helmet shield in hockey, that's one that maybe a little outdated. The amount of high sticks that we're getting. And you're not really seeing anybody that, I think there's three players in the NHL, I saw the stat, that like doesn't wear any type of face mask.
Did you happen to see overtime hockey, 3-on-3 hockey with Stars and Canadiens the other day?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was.
That makes me want to have 3-on-3 hockey all the time.
You want to just go 3-on-3 instead of 5-on-5?
Open it up.
Not open ice. I'll
tell you what,
man.
Those two teams, it was just back and forth. And it was like, I'm like, my gosh. And then, of course, Dallas in the shootout. But that was some fun watch.
All right, how about we get rid of the chain gang? And we've talked about this, Brian.
Don't get rid of the chain gang.
First down, we get rid of the chains, and we just have the laser, all right? You got the chip in the football, whatever it might be, but we're just going ahead. That certainly, I agree with Spitzy. This would be more accurate here. But you just like the aesthetic of the chains, I guess.
I like it. I like the fact that you know, that like I ran the chain gang crew in Green Bay. I'd feel like that those older gentlemen need an opportunity to be on the field and to be a part of the game. I think it would be unfortunate.
You don't have to do away with them. You can keep the aesthetic of them being there. They just don't have anything. Yeah, they're just the responsibility. You can still go out for the little measurement or whatever.
Let's have more clutter on the sidelines.
Well, it's not more clutter. It's the same amount of clutter.
It's more clutter. I mean, if they're not doing anything,
why would you?
What are they really doing now?
They're helping you like watch the game better. How dramatic is it when like it's a fourth down and it might be a stop?
Yeah,
and then you could tell by the chain when they put it down that this is going to be short, and they pull it past the ball and it's like everybody erupts.
That's a great moment.
That's a great moment. You wouldn't have that moment if you like got rid of the older gentlemen in the white outfits.
Maybe there's a way to keep it. And for those moments, you run those guys out there.
Baseball umpires. All right, that's another one on here, and that's being texted in. But here's my fear with the baseball umpire. You get rid of the ump, and I do kind of agree with this, but then what are we going to do if there's a bad call and you get a manager come out? Who are they going to argue with?
They're going to beat the hell out of that robot.
Who are we going to end up getting, you know,
the other way around?
Videos? Maybe the robot fights back.
It might be more. I don't know if it would be more funny, because that's definitely something that I would have concern with as well, Walchuk. Like the idea that I'm not going to get the manager versus the ump, but maybe there's a new spin on it versus the robot ump that could actually be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I want to see more robotics. You know, I think the spot of the ball is crucial, and there needs to be sensors on the players to know when exactly they are down. All this stuff could be automated, and I think there is a little bit of a downside to it. The human element's always interesting, but we'll find other stuff to be interested by.
601 has a good one. Any football stadium that still has bleacher seating, get rid of the bleachers. We need chairs. That's old school right there. I'm with you. I mean, like the Cotton Bowl, should we put chairs in there?
Yes.
I'm with you.
I mean, not having a back in your seat, you got to lean back. I mean, at the Cotton Bowl, it's often easy because there's low-level sporting events happening there. You got a whole section to yourself. But, I mean, if it's crowded, you're in somebody's lap. It's just weird. People are cramming in there.
And then from the bleachers, you got to, you know, nature calls to go number one, and now you're troughing this thing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we need to get rid of the troughs. That's definitely something in these stadiums. 1 foot instead of 2 feet for a completion in college football. I'm going to make this unanimous 2 feet rule.
Oh, yes, yes. Just agreed. Go ahead and keep this. Well, how about this one? Even worse, the one where the guy falls down, he hasn't been touched, and he can't get back up.
Yes, I'm with you on that. We can change that. That's bizarre. Like, we need to keep this. Let's go both NFL and college, get on the same page here. Okay, I love this. Mandatory boxing matches like the UFC does, best on best. So we're not having these people dodging each other anymore. Like, hey, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, you're in your prime. You need to fight each other when you should fight each other.
Every 6 months. Like, let's do a best of seven.
Top ranked guys, you're fighting. NFL pass interference joins college. It's just a 15-yard penalty. We're not doing spot of the foul anymore.
That's that, man. That's hard. You get a 48-yard penalty against you on pass interference.
There needs to be levels to it, you know?
Yeah.
If you're like, pulling a guy down, say like you're beat badly and there's going to be
you're
attention.
Pulling the guy down, that's a spot foul. You know, you barely bump the guy on a pass that probably wasn't catchable, like Texas, Ohio State the other night. It's like, we're not giving you 15 yards for that. You weren't going to get that ball. But on the off chance you miraculously did, we'll give you 5 yards.
All right, so we'll do like flagrants and technicals. Like, we'll do layers to this with the pass interference. And then the use of marijuana in sports. Like, I think that one, we just... It helps, guys, and it's probably helping more so than a lot of the crap that you're making them take pill-wise.
I agree.
Just go ahead, and we're not testing for marijuana. My number one, though, is the targeting rule. We need to get the targeting rule the hell out of here. At least tweak it, right? We shouldn't be ejecting players, and we definitely shouldn't be ejecting players for half of the next game. Yeah. If it happens more than once, you want to put in an ejection because you got a bad player here, headhunting, fine. Mm-hmm. But overall, that's a terrible rule. I think it's the worst rule in sports.
It is, and it's so difficult. It's so unfair to the defensive players. I get like the 15 yards, and if you got a headhunter, go ahead and find his ass if it's the third or fourth time he's done it that year.
Get
and
out.
You know, maybe suspend him a game after the fact, but I'm with you on that one, Wolchuk. Thank you so much. Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. Does this development put the GOAT back in the mix to become the Cowboys' next head coach? We'll get that and more coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, when I showed up today, there were people already downstairs in the lobby for our Rangers winter caravan, which is coming up a little bit
later
on.
I noticed that, too.
And now the line is very long. It's out the door into the parking lot or into the parking garage. Yeah. So a lot of Rangers fans fired up for this event. And if you are coming, I would say expect a big crowd and maybe bring a jacket and a coat. And that's even if you can make it indoors. Man, that lobby's pretty cold down there on a day like this. It was 31 degrees this morning when I woke up and dropped off Abby at school. So we're not quite out of this winter phase quite yet.
It's going to get colder this week.
Yeah, and I heard that maybe early next week we're maybe looking at another opportunity for snow.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I was driving around quite a bit yesterday in DFW, and it was amazing how many of the overpasses, especially the more north and east that I got, still had significant amounts of snow that were still kind of like melting that had been piled up on.
The areas in shade?
Yeah, the shaded areas.
Shaded on, alive. On overpasses, where obviously that cold air underneath it, yes. Yeah. Okay, one of the things about Bill Belichick at UNC that I think is interesting is a report that he hasn't filled out his coaching staff yet. You know, maybe he's just waiting for everybody to become available, get through the college football championship, get through the NFL playoffs and start, picking his guys up. Certainly, he's taken it about as seriously as the Cowboys have over the last 5 years. So maybe he's just going to bring in like a McAdoo and a Charlie Weiss. I don't know. But that is there, Brian. You're saying today, though, your source is indicating
Mike Lombardi told me that they were not interested in the Cowboy job now that it came open.
That, that would be, to me, one of the few things that are out there that are somewhere in the realm of possibility. After listening to Brian, I'd say less than 1%. It's going to be Belichick. But I think you mentioned Aaron Glenn earlier.
Yeah,
That one could be really interesting. Yeah. You know, maybe exciting.
I think so. You know, again, I think that Mike has been very, talking about what Mike Lombardi's talking about with Belichick. And, he's gone on some national programs and talked about that. And I wondered, I'm like, hey, do things change now that the Cowboy job comes open? And he's like, no, it really doesn't. So they're committed to what they're doing there. That would be a $10 million buyout if that was the case. Me personally, I know that this thing is probably going to end up with Kellen Moore getting the job. Aaron Glenn would be my guy. That's who I would go get if I were the Dallas Cowboys. To me, that one makes the most sense. As far as when you look at the potential of him being 52 years old and being a coach you can grow with, but He's seen the lows. He's seen the highs. You know, he knows.
Been around Peyton. Been around.
Yeah,
he's Campbell now.
He's been
played
around
for Parcells.
Exactly. Yeah. He knows what it's going to take. And he, you know, the first axiom of warfare, I believe, is you know the enemy. He knows the enemy here. You know, and I don't mean to sound the enemy as the front office, but he understands
what the dynamic would
what
be.
The dynamic is, the things you're going to have to deal with. You know, and he's going to, if he were to walk in here, I'm sure every coach would walk in and say, hey, do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? You know, and then Jerry and Steven will make an attempt not to.
Yeah.
And then, in, you know, like Heggy was talking about in week nine, they'll flip it around and all of a sudden they're like back in the mix of doing things. But yeah, it's going to take it. This job is not for everybody. This job is not for everybody. And it's for the guys that have that ability to like focus on exactly what they need to do for the team, for their coaching staff, and winning football games and having success doing it. You've got to block everything else out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do.
It's very difficult to do.
But, you know, I think Aaron Glenn is a guy that, you know, like I say, a Texas guy, he understands how the importance of this and the stage. I think he'd be a great hire.
Well, I'd love to see him emphasize defense. You know, that doesn't necessarily have to mean a defensive minded head coach, but it wouldn't hurt. I think you look at your defense right now, you should have two really good corners. Once Diggs comes back, you have two really good linebackers with Overshown and Leafau to look forward to. You have Micah Parsons just destroying game plans down there. I want to add a couple of more players and see what this could really look like, because I feel like Dak has done a pretty decent job mitigating a so-so wide receiver core, offensive line that's been patchy, and still managing to get enough points up on the board. I don't know if you can build an offense so great if you give him another receiver, a better tight end, and another offensive lineman. Like, over the next 3 or 4 years, what's the ceiling on the offense? We've already seen them lead the league and get wiped in the wild card round, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Double down on defense. Dak will find a way to get you 23 points.
Well, I mean, the one thing that you hadn't seen with Dak is him with somebody that is a difference maker as a play caller.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be the only reason to go that route. But you're right. I mean, you go back to the wild card loss to San Fran. They put up 17 points. And on that team, you had Amari, you had CD, you had Cedric Wilson, you had Michael Gallup, right? You had a pretty darn good loaded crew on offense, and you still only put up 17 points. Now, credit to the 49ers defense. I understand who the opponent you're playing, but still, you got to do more than that. So maybe the path forward is we just need to build on defense.
And it's the idea that defense wins championships. You know, like if you build a really good offense, but your defense is average, you're not going to win multiple playoff games unless you have, you know, a Hall of Famer sitting there at quarterback.
And to the 2-4, I'd love Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, I just don't see as a realistic option for the Cowboys. That seems like a guy who wants to go in there. He knows he's got a good relationship with his general manager. They're both in phase lockstep together. Like, you've got with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. You're not going to have that here. Like, one of your biggest obstacles now, where things are with the Cowboys as a head coach, is you have to find a way to balance out what is now a weak front office. The Cowboys front office is now a weakness to whoever takes over this head coaching job. You've got to find a way to maneuver that.
Yeah, and it's a detriment and a potential distraction for you in the ways that, you know, the sources have said they wanted to see Mike McCarthy get another shot and do it his way. For me, that would be something that would rule a Ben Johnson out, but that would be one of those things that, Jerry, if you're watching your roster get older and Hall of Famers move on and your salary cap situation be less than ideal moving forward, how do you get the fan base to believe for next year? I don't think you could do any better than Ben Johnson in that department. Maybe drafting Genty?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's a huge issue when the best guy available, the consensus best available, you probably can't even get a sit down with. You may not even want a sit down with him. Like, it just speaks to the disaster class that you're running, where you either don't want him, he doesn't want you, nobody thinks that would be a fit, even though he's the best one for the job. And there's no salary cap on it or anything. If you wanted to go make that happen, there is a world where you could, and you probably won't even get an interview with the guy. And that speaks to just how bad it is.
You know, you might get the best of both worlds, though, if you say, like, you were to hire, and I understand hiring Ben Johnson and what that means going forward, but I wonder if you get the best of both worlds if you get Aaron Glenn and then get Mark Burnell as your quarterback coach or as your offensive coordinator. who is the quarterback coach in Detroit. You know, he's been at Detroit the last 4 years, so he's been there through with Goff and stuff like that. Do you all of a sudden, like, you fix the defense, but you get a guy that seems to work well with quarterbacks, former, much more success than what Kellen Moore was as a quarterback.
Sure.
Maybe you get that understanding of how that go-for-your-throat type of play calling, throwing the ball to tackles and stuff like that, you know, with Mark Brunell. I wonder how much influence Mark Brunell has on Ben Johnson as sitting in that room. You know, Ben Johnson's the one calling the plays. Mark Brunell's probably the one standing up in the meetings. Him and Scotty Montgomery, the running back coach, probably standing up in that room once coaching this thing up.
And I would bet on Aaron Glenn to have the intangible leadership skills over a Ben Johnson. Like, all Ben Johnson has proven so far is he can be an amazing offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You don't know how a guy can bleep the bed once he gets into a leadership position like that. Everybody's staring at him. You know, there's a lot of dynamics that are unpredictable. And for that reason, I do expect Jerry Jones to go with an experienced head coach. Probably a long-term experienced head coach, because he, you know, I think he's, you know, nervous about swinging for the fences and creating a situation where his team goes the opposite direction. You know, you get an experienced guy in here, I think your floor is higher. We'll have more on the Cowboys situation coming up at 5:20, hitting the expressway. LA Live coming up at 5:40. An edition of the finest next, Chief. What do you got?
Best takeaways and highlights from Wild Card Weekend next year in the nation.